Hello, welcome to It's Not My Fault, the One Cheek Podcast. It's not popular. Episode 242. My name is Justin.
And mine's Helen.
Like, I'm already flubbing how to say this. The title of this podcast. I've been saying this for, like, generations. How can I screw this up? Incredible. But anyways, I hope you're enjoying this the bipolar weather that's been happening in this past, like, few weeks. One of these days, we'll know if it's going to be 70 degrees or 80 degrees instead of, oh, it's going to be 70 this day, and oh, it's going to be 50 the other day. It's going to be great.
I think you've already heard of my complaints about how many times I keep having to, like, change the sheets on my bed. It's like, do I need the blankets or do I not need the blankets? Am I turning the fan on before I go to bed or not?
I literally put my comforter away, like, when it was, like, 80-something, like, not that long ago. Then it all of a sudden just got into the 40s. But I don't want to put the comforter back on
same,
my bed.
Same.
Don't want to do it.
And it's I already washed that thing. I don't want to wash it again.
And then, like, do I want to put my winter coat on again? No.
Not I'm really. Not
I'm just going to wear my hoodie and my not as wintry coat, but it's fine enough for this weather. And I will survive somehow.
Listen, I'll just walk briskly and I'll warm up, you know? It's fine.
But okay, yes. We have, again, more things to talk about. Obviously, this is a spring anime discussion this episode, so we cannot get into what we've been up to, although I assume Helen has been very busy with what she's been up to, so I'm looking forward to whatever she's been up to in the next few weeks, or the next episode.
Listen, I am actively hand sewing as we are talking, so you know, that's kind of where my mind's been lately. And once I'm done with that, I'm going to be crocheting for the rest of the episode, because I've got a self-imposed crochet deadline coming up.
Incredible. So we gotta get into some of the news that's happened in the past few weeks, and it's
anime news. To be clear, all these statements are a reflection of the world of manga, anime, not the wider world.
Not the wider world. Yeah, we have to make it clear. Just a true story and funny joke. There's this Knicks fan on Twitter, very famous actor. He was just tweeting about the Knicks, and then he just said, "Got it done." And do you know who descended on him after that Twitter? My mind was just blown. And I'm just like, okay, that's a bot. That's definitely got to be botted. This is not real person. It's madness. You just have to literally state everything so people are not. Why is he so stupid, Helen? Why?
Someone on Blue Sky was saying that if you are primarily a politics person online, you are not allowed to simply tweet, oh my god. You must give context for whatever it is. If you're a sports fan, you can get away with it. But if you're a politics person, no, you can't.
No, even if you're a sports person, like this person was, I'm not saying who it was. Just not doing it. This person just literally tweeting about the Knicks, and they got descended on by these people after we know what happened. Just, my mind was just... I people are lost and they need help somehow. But anyways, before we delay this whole episode, we gotta get to what we're gonna talk about in terms of anime and manga news. And me going, this is the internet once again having a mistake. Number 1,566,612. I could have gone with more random numbers. Maybe it could have been bigger. Could have definitely been lower, maybe, but anyway, so there was 3 AN articles for this. I am going to somehow summarize this. Me and Helen, we basically had a discussion about how to summarize this, but to get to the brass tacks of this, go for it. Nakamura Kun creator Sunday eventually had to leave Twitter, aka X, after dealing with alleged harassment. There seems to be something going on with a student and a teacher in this episode or one of the episodes of Go For Nakamura-kun, and I assume this also extends to the manga, and following accusations of what the anime's doing to the material and Sunday's past works, this led to people criticizing, aka harassing her on Twitter, and this led to Sunday leaving a last comment that basically said, what do I even do this for, and eventually just deleted the Twitter account. Then a few this past Wednesday, then Sunday posted a statement about the 5th episode of Go For It Nakamura-kun due to their publisher Hero Web, saying this is intended solely as a stylistic expression of BL and carries no deeper meaning. Neither I, the creator, nor the animation production team endorses teachers and students exchanging personal contact information. This also led to other stuff like about, like, this is decision I made about certain scenes in the anime and blah and stuff like that. Then she also had another thing saying that depiction of adult minor relationships in their future, in her future works. So while I, as series creator, have previously published several BL works featuring pairings with significant age gaps or adult minor relationships such as teacher student pairings in light of the recent surge of and horrific crimes committed by adults against minors, I will no longer lose such themes in future works. And she also offered an apology to those who felt offended by her prior works. It was obviously crazy enough, and this was a whole big thing on Twitter to where other creators, I am not listing all of them again, and it has the write-ups for that will be linking in the notes, show notes, that spoke out about the situation. Some did not like say Sunday's name in their tweets, but then others basically made sure you knew who it was that they were talking about, and just the whole state of just culture and fandom criticism and everything, and just what type of rights and works, I should say, are fine to like put out there, and how do we consume content or consume these works really. And that's just a general summarization. Again, you have to look at the anime article to see exactly what they all said. But yes, Helle, it's internet. Maybe going just a little too crazy about everything, and it's, especially on Twitter, it's just stupid. These people are just really bad.
Yeah, it sounds pretty toxic. Like, I personally am not a fan of age gap relationships in my fiction at all. Like, if I see something that looks interesting but it has an age gap in there, I'm probably not going to read it. But, like, there's a difference between I'm probably not going to read this and I don't think it should exist at all. Like, that's just, you know, I don't believe that my personal preferences are, you know, some sort of, like, moral code everyone else needs to uphold. So, yeah. People seem to be Puritans, you know. Yeah. I do not know if this was mostly Japanese fans talking about this or English speaking fans.
To be clear, it was definitely more overseas. I can let you know that for sure.
Yeah, I know in one of the Anet articles they mentioned like a Brazilian fan or something like that. So it's not even just Americans. So not just us this time.
Oh, were you implied by that, Helen? What you implied by that?
That the third most populous country in the world is often the one that's making, you know, the biggest stink online. When you've got 330 million people in a country that was founded by Puritans, things happen. Right. Unfortunately.
But yeah, in all seriousness, this is not, especially when the anime is happening right now, this is a time to like really like embrace what's happening, especially on the screen. Obviously there's been comments about the what's been cut removed from the anime compared to the manga, but like this should be a time to like really celebrate the series getting anime, and just having the creator not be able to even enjoy it and share her joy with others is just really depressing and just really sad, honestly.
All right, then. And then moving into odder news, could also be another reason why the internet was a mistake. Somebody added the Gachi Yakuda creator on the site formerly known as Twitter, asking if it was okay to read the Gachi Yakuda manga on the Discord, the Gachi Yakuda Discord. They phrased it like it's an official Discord, but I suspect it's not. I don't know if this person was trolling or if they were asking seriously. Could have been either. But creator Rana responded basically with, no.
This is illegal? This is illegal?
Yeah, they are posting GIFs of the troll face, Billy the Puppet from the Saw franchise, and the annoying orange. In her post with the annoying orange image, Rana asked her followers, hey, since yesterday all I've done is post a GIF and nothing else, what are you so afraid of? Got something to feel guilty about? I wouldn't exactly say I'm going quite aggro, but definitely took offense at that. Personally.
Just look at the quote tweets just of the Gachi Yakuta readers just being in despair about, oh, cool, she's just going to kill off one of our favorite characters. She's going to do it. It's gonna happen.
Every time you fired a manga chapter, another character dies. And so, Kei Urana also posted on social media, both in English and Japanese. The English was via a translation app. They were saying that, yes, there are some people who can't read manga unless it's through a pirate site due to finances or circumstances, depending on where they live. I'm guessing at that point you mean, like, if it's been licensed or not. But you still just can't pirate it, you know? The idea that they're rejecting the idea that reading for free doesn't hurt sales. She said, quoting from the ANN article, "Once people grow used to getting something for free, they stop looking towards official versions. Compensation matters, of course, but more than anything, I don't want to see manga's value diminished." And she said that she is working with Hideyoshi Ando, who's the graffiti designer for the manga, to bring the manga to more readers. So it sounds like they're trying to explore other ways it could, you know, maybe be made available legally. But yeah, I don't think Discord is ever going to be a viable way to legally read Gachiukuda. Listen, the last time I considered joining a Discord to read a comic, it was strictly a fan scanlation. We all knew that. We all knew it was not an official method to read something that was unlicensed. And it was partially because, like, other scanlation sites kept stealing the translations. So the scanlator was getting really pissed off.
Yeah, wow.
I can tell you more about that one off podcast because it's off topic. Okay. But yeah, to be clear, we all at least knew at this point that was, you know, not some sort of legal avenue for an unlicensed work.
All right, Helen, I'm just going to just state my clear thoughts about this. If somehow, some way, because apparently this also kicked off, like, Japanese parodies discussion on Twitter, actually. Like, there's actually, like, authors and creators who are discussing this, too. If this whole situation, which started with some foolish person, I'm calling him foolish, that's right.
Fool.
Who just decided to add the actual creator, ask about this being official, like, it's official way to read this through the Discord. If this somehow leads to a easier time for people to actually read manga officially, this will not only be the greatest manga industry news story of all time, this will 100% be the number one weirdest news of 2026 ever.
Justin, can you stop saying things like this will definitely be the weirdest story of such and such year? Every time you say this, something else happens.
As you can see,
we've been doing this for like 9 fucking years.
I always love challenging the universe.
I do not appreciate these challenges to the universe.
Thinking that there's no way this can be topped. Just no way. And look,
universe, I am not involved in this challenge. Do not make me have to get involved in this.
I think obviously there's way too many, it's too many complications about trying to actually get things obviously official and legal and everything.
Yeah, since that was the case. Which services is this one on?
This is Kodansha. This is on K Manga.
Okay.
So it's not available. It's available in a good amount of regions. It's not available in every region just yet. So it's still missing some regions and countries, I think.
Yeah, so since it's a Kodansha one, it's not on, like, Weekly Shonen Jump or Manga Plus or any of the other legal but free sites.
Yeah, and again, if you have a problem with K-Manga's points system, then yeah, you're going to have issues with wanting to read it.
Man, I haven't even signed into K-Manga in quite a while. Although right now I'm fussing around with Manga Up, so we will see how that goes.
but yeah, like, I'm not gonna piracy. The whole topic of piracy just can take up a whole episode because there's just so many
people have been talking about it for literally decades.
It's been a long, long discussion about that. So I'm going to just keep it simple. Like, yes, I think even just the creator speaking about that, and especially nowadays, which is how global and overseas, like, these companies have been, especially I want to say the past, I don't want to go decade, but obviously it's been more concerted effort in the past couple of years to really tap into the overseas market. So it's nice to have this discussion, but unless we got to see it happen. we got to see if things will actually progress and go f and actually like if these companies, especially Japanese companies, can make it work to where they can be satisfied with their works being read in other countries, and if they can resolve any legal issues that could pop up in these particular regions and everything. So yeah, it'd be very to see what's gonna if anything actually happens moving forward with this. Obviously, this blew up in a way that I'm not sure we could have anybody could have anticipated. So yeah, just something to look out for. But like I said, if it actually leads to significant change, it will be one of the weirdest things I can ever say I've seen in the regards to the manga. It just will be.
Although this is also reminding me that Joycelyn Allen was posting on Blue Sky a snippet from an article from J the Japan Times, which reads, Hiroshi Kurenaga, an official from the Cultural Affairs Agency, said that only 5 to 10% of manga released in Japan is currently translated. There are simply not enough translators, Kurenaga said. AI is being, and then the clip cut off, and it's like, on the one hand, I would like it if all of this led to, even more stuff being available legally, but considering that they think the problem right now is that we don't have enough translators, when it's like, bitch, y'all don't want to pay the translators enough. Also, readers do not have infinite money. We are not going to be buying 100% of the manga put out, because frankly, at least 50% of it is crap. So, we're just
Hey,
going to have
whoa, whoa,
to
whoa,
go
whoa,
through
whoa,
here.
whoa, 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 whoa,
Do
whoa,
you think I was
whoa, whoa.
overestimating
You're
that?
being too generous.
Overestimating
You're being too generous. You're being too generous.
that.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. 50% is real generous. I'm not gonna say exactly how high it would go, but that 50 is too generous. Yeah, we gotta move on. We'll get into a whole discussion about all that too
And now we'll
much.
talk about the trouble when you actually do want to pay for the manga.
Right, and that's true, right? We talk about this is a great segue, actually. We talk about, oh yeah, we got all these legal troubles, and everything. How about actually paying for works, especially adult, particularly hentai works? We have actually talked, obviously, in a couple episodes before. We talked about the pay process issues with Visa and MasterCard, among other troubles,
Both in the
and.
US and overseas.
Yes, basically around the world, really, and especially over the past like couple years, it's been a really concerted effort to really hone hammer down 18 plus stuff, and this has affected
Again, society founded by Puritans.
the founder of founder CEO of adult manga publisher Faku, Jacob. He had announced in a statement that they're looking into adding more payment methods for users in the midst of its ongoing discussions with payment processors, because around December, I think this is, let me see, do I have this one here? He had revealed that a longtime payment processor partner terminated the company's account without warning, a few weeks before Christmas. They cited a fundamental misunderstanding of what anime mangas actually are, as well as new AI compliance systems as the cause. This is, I guess, got them desperate enough to look into literally every single method of making sure they get money to the creators and themselves. So that includes using crypto, prepaid cards, and a dedicated point system. It's that
Are we
bad,
gonna have to
Helen?
go
Oh
back to
no.
what?
Oh
Are we
no.
gonna have to go back to like mailing checks and like
We
sending
gotta go to
checks in the
money
mail?
orders. We gotta,
Are telegraphs still a thing? Folks,
telegraphs.
tell me how a wire transfer works.
Yeah, we got, if we gotta go to
There's
crypto,
wire tran there's like Western Unions in a lot of grocery stores still, right?
this is, but yes, not exactly a statement you want to make, but unfortunately, it's getting, I guess, serious enough to where these payment processors just causing too many issues. And we talked about, or you mentioned about, hey, this content may not be for me, but it look if it's right for somebody else, that's okay, that's fine. It's not judging morally. And in this case, we're talking about
Listen, I
18
am
plus
asexual.
stuff.
I'm already judging people enough for being interested in the porny things. I cannot, I only have so much time in the day to be judgmental about this.
But if it's somebody's hard-earned money and they want to spend it, then I think as long as it's obviously not hurting anybody, then I think. And then for what it's worth, I think this also causes other issues by just limiting 18 plus stuff. I imagine that like even just saying like, oh yeah, you want to say, you know, we're not taking money for 18 plus stuff, but when what's your limit? If this one thing has this one content, then this probably teen related thing is going to get affected. So what is your limit? I think that's what's opening up when you do want to, when you want to ban stuff, when it's as for all intents and purposes. As far as I know, the print stuff is shrink wrapped, so you can't, like, it can't be easily be obtained.
Well, Faku does a lot of digital stuff too, don't they?
They do digital stuff too, but again, that's, and then that actually kind of reminds me about how digital for some reason is a lot. It's so especially weird on Amazon because they have so much random AI generated 18 plus stuff that you can just buy, but then when it's actually from an actual legit company and everything, there's just so much trouble getting digital stuff on there. It's so bizarre. I guess it maybe comes down to pay how much it costs. That's my only thing I can figure. But yeah, this is something that's been an ongoing thing, and it's clearly coming into a head here with this type of statement.
I am going to judge you if you read or watch AI-generated porn. I am, in fact, going to judge you on that. You cannot stop me.
It's like, you do know you got the creators right there that you can just go and read, right? And instead, stuff's gonna get you off, huh?
Yeah, I'm gonna judge you for being, you know, a degenerate with absolutely no morals.
It's tough out there, Hella. Apparently, it's tough out there, and for Faku, this is and I guess also not just them, probably other companies. This is it's getting pretty dicey. Obviously, we'll be covering this as I assume more news will be coming out of this moving forward. So. Covering for sure.
Okay, so we finally have some more regular news here. So Tokyo MX announced that it has dismissed Hiroshi Date from his position of representative director and chairman during I'm quoting from ANN here, extraordinary meeting following an internal report made last December. The company had investigated Date and discovered that he committed power harassment actions such as inappropriate conduct and remarks towards subordinates, and so he is going to be resigning effective April 30th.
All right, so the end of the week, basically goodbye, so long. We knew you well. Okay, I personally didn't know you well, and clearly people in the company did not want to know you very well.
Just kick you out before a new pay period starts.
So, yeah, I'm going to move on to some actually good news. Stuff that actually caught me off guard. Kosuke is back, which means also Gangsta is back.
Yeah, that one had been on hiatus for so long. I had forgotten it was on hiatus. I thought it had ended.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, it could have ended. Like, I mean, you hear what Kosuke has been dealing with, so for readers. Kosuke worked on a regular schedule after revealing in 2021 she had lost an eye and was experiencing paralysis in her fingers due to health complications from systematic lupus and erythematosus.
It's a variation on lupus, although lupus doesn't usually get quite that bad. I know a couple folks with it, but they have not been losing eyes, thank God.
Yeah, I can only... Well, actually, I better not speculate. Just gonna... go on. So the manga was on went on hiatus in September 2018, and then it returned in March 2019, and then I assume went on hiatus around the 55th chapter or 56th chapter, which debuted in December 2020. So I guess it's been on hiatus for a long, six years really. But then it was announced this past Friday by Kosuke and publisher Shinchosa that it's going to resume serialization in July. They stated that during the manga's long hiatus, Kosuke has been undergoing medical treatment for what we describe SLE and accompanying complications. And Kosuke did post on Twitter that the manga serialization will likely pause frequently and that the pace of the compiled files will also be slow from now on as well, which, understandable, as they try to figure out way to actually draw the series. So it's just gonna be some time. But I'm at that line of like, well, if it's bad enough that to go through all this effort, I'm not sure you need to do it. But at the same time, if she really is determined and wants to do this, that I have to basically encourage her. If she feels like it's not gonna, like, I mean, it's already caused some issues already, but, like, I guess she really wants to do it, she wants to do it, then I can't really stop her. She wants to really continue gangsta, so.
Yeah, it reminds me a bit of the ongoing issues with Hunter Hunter, except those health issues, I know, were strictly caused by the creator just pushing themselves entirely too far during serialization of, not Inuyasha, God. Yu Yu Hakusho. Yeah. different set of sounds there. Well, and Hunter Hunter. But this, lupus is a genetic disorder, so it's quite possible it would have affected her life in this way, even if she wasn't drawing manga on a regular basis. So, yeah, I hope she's able to figure out a schedule where she's able to get the satisfaction of drawing manga and not be in pain for it. my turn. We got a couple other things returning from hiatus as well. The manga version of I Was Reincarnated as the Seventh Prince is going to be resuming after took a break starting in November after they finished the Stampede arc, so that the adapting mangaka Yosuke Kokuzawa could recuperate and plan for the next arc. And trying to make sure I got the title of this one right.
Good luck.
Yeah. The manga Steel of the Celestial Shadows, Taiyo to Susuke no Hagane by Daruma Matsura, went on hiatus in February 2025, then returned in June for a couple chapters, went on hiatus again, and so it is come back yet again. So this is supposed to be the start of a new arc, so hopefully that will keep on going.
But as we have returns, we have, well, hiatuses. In this case, Masaoki Shindo's Ruri Dragon was slated to come back this week, actually. But it's now been delayed to next June, the latest chapter. So no Ruri Dragon until June.
Know how early Kyoto Animation tends to work on their things, I do wonder if maybe the creator is, like, having to just do a lot of work, you know, with them, like, discussing the anime, and maybe that's just been taking up too much time.
Well, maybe. Well, that is a possibility, but we also know that the author has had health issues before.
Yeah.
So, they didn't state what the reasons were. So, again, we just hope everything's for the best, and again, series, the chapter's gonna be hopefully return in June, so just go from there. And let's see. So, and then we have another. We have a 1 month delay this time due to Daisuke Ashihara's health. The manga, the World Trigger manga, is going to return in the next Jump Story issue. So, I guess that's what, around June, July, somewhere around there.
And that one's always, that one's had a number of hiatuses over the years.
Mm-hmm. And then, final bit of delay or. Delays, or in this case, not quite a delay, but we have a regular serialization. So, this latest issue of Square Enix Monthly Gangan Joker magazine had announced that the Tetsuya Tatsuro Slasher Maiden is going to enter a irregular serialization schedule. Tatsuro stated that they made a decision to consult with their editor. So, not quite a hiatus, but also they are not going to be having. They're not going to be on a normal schedule for a while, it seems. So hopefully nothing is amiss that's causing them to go on the schedule.
And then finally, we do have one obituary. The Japanese news website Nippon.com reported that manga artist Sado Soji died on April 5th at a hospital in Tokyo due to heart failure at the age of 88. I'm not familiar with this title name. I don't believe any of his works were ever licensed in English, but I'm also not sure how many works he did have, since ANN details that Shoji was born in Tokyo in 1937 and made his debut as a manga creator in 1967, and he's best known for his salaryman themed manga series.
Tamon-kun.
Yeah. Yeah, his longest running one was Tamon-kun, which ran from 1968 to 2025, so like a year after his debut, which came out to a total of 57 years and 8 months. So, I don't know if they were drawing many other comics at the same time, because,
Yep, this in fact, yeah. He was drawing for Kodansha, Shukan Gendai magazine. He drew Salaryman Senka for 55 years.
I feel like this is probably the dream for some folks, you know, just get, like, one steady comic and then just do it for decades.
Right. And then also he drew the Asate-kun four-panel manga, which is published in the morning edition of the Mainichi Shimbun newspaper from 1974 to 2014.
Lots of
installments, for sure.
You know, I did wonder if Japanese newspapers have, like, the daily comics the way American newspapers did or not.
So yeah, I but they, that yeah, they do. I think there's a few. I can't remember off the top of my head, but there's definitely just like...
Also, there are definitely American newspaper comics that go on for literally decades and decades, like quite a few decades. Like, my mom always had fun with For Better or For Worse, which is, it's by a Canadian creator. And the daughter in that one was actually born the same year I was. So my mom always had fun over the years tracking that daughter and how she was developing, you know, at the same age I was.
All right. So we're going to move on to some of the licenses that's happened over the past few weeks. I guess we got a good amount this time. Helen's going to note that, wait a minute, there's something missing here compared to the others. And sometimes, you know, when you're putting a script together and you're doing something at the last minute, stuff happens, okay? It is what it is. So anyways, so Yen Press...
I don't know what's missing. What's missing, Justin?
Yen Press has announced the following. They've licensed Usa, Haneda, and U35's Buying a Classic Once a Week. You should have noticed this is the light novel... So it's going on again now on imprint. They license
Kurumu. I will refrain from calling Kurumu. It from calling it Yuri Rent a Girlfriend.
Oh yeah, I think we'll see something about that. Like, I called Yuri Rent a Girlfriend, but something about it actually like buying. Okay, whatever. Kuru Makumu's and NCNGM's N. This is going to be a great way to find it if you want to search it online. Put N in the search bar. I'm sure you're going to be able to find this work while Googling it. Very sure. Tomoyo Kondo's 2 a.m. at the Dining Table. Shoji Gato at Ohige Kamisori's Fullmetal Pack Family. Kazuhito Minagi and Pinnacle's Your Castle's Little Helper. Nekomugi's To Kucho-chan, The Girls Who Brighten Your Day. Kazuki Ichimori and Erika Kanbara's Defying Expectations. With Gravity Magic to be unparalleled. I'm like, why does it sound familiar? Did Jade Evercall publish this? No. Instead, Kanakawa has been publishing the chapters. They released the chapters for a few months now, I think. Maki Komatsu is the record of Fantastical Nomenclature. And
Nomenclature?
Keiichi... Nomenclature?
Nomenclature.
And Nomenclature. 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 Keiichi Kikami and Lax, see you at that site of grace at the work. I should have checked this is a light novel or not. Because I think the illustrator sounds like I think it's a light novel, but okay, I should have checked. My bad. But yes, that is their 9 announcements that they had. I think it was last week, so.
Oh, is the thing that you missed that the fact that none of the Seven Seas ones have authors associated with them?
There you go.
Okay. Well, that just makes it easier for me to...
I knew you'd figure it out.
That just makes it easier for me to rattle off everything that Seven Seas has announced at their most recent Wonderful Wednesdays. Into the Night, Yasobi Story Collection, which will be an airship light novel title. Sworn Brothers on the Farm. The Apothecary is going to make this ragged elf happy. Kidnapped by Elves, I went from Potion Factory Alchemist to Accidental Hero. I don't know if those two titles are going to cross over or not, but it'd be kind of funny. I Became a Necromancer After Beating Up My Angel Guide and Accidentally Triggering the Apocalypse. Both the light novel and manga versions of that. In Another World of My Cat, a software engineer uses code to master magic and build a territory. I think that one's a manga. And my friends are already making Dungeon Crawler Carl jokes about this.
That just sort of that is a light novel. I should have. I believe that's light novel digital too.
Yeah, the Erotical Wizard and His 12 Brides. Unsurprisingly, this is a ghost ship title. Hate Me But Let Me Stay, Mr. Asanaga and Mr. Yanagi, which is a spin-off of To Hate Me But Let Me Stay. Amamiya-san is the cutest, but I'm a close second. Sorry, and I'm a close second. And The Berserker NPC Unknowingly Destroys the World, which is a light novel under their Airship imprint and digital only.
We got a couple of Grace Your Babe books news to go over. So I'm going to start with some of the licenses first. So I think some of this also was announced already, but I don't think we personally covered it. So I just listed
them. I would remember if we'd covered these particular pen names. So yeah, I don't think so.
Okay. Oh yeah, you were the pen name. Right. So they're going to release Nerun Daisuke's Hyoho Short Story Collection, Marco Konihata's Akari, and Konomo Papers, Juji, and Aichi. These are, I believe, all planned to come out this year. They also gave us an update on just taking over responsibilities from Starfruit Books. So they've received most of their inventory, and they're processing stuff and starting for shipments, for orders. It's able to fulfill with the existing inventory. So they're going to plan to add Essex stuff for sale through its own website after, again, dealing with what they had. Starfruit Books existing orders, so they obviously those who order from Starfruit Books first, they'll be taken care of before they release it for a wider audience. They're gonna continue Starfruit Books releases of Hideshino's manga, so they have Cult Detective Club, Graveyard of the Dolls, of the Death Dolls, lettering for Hino's Red Snake is currently in progress, and they're gonna release the manga in the future. They're also going to reprint Hino's Panorama of Hell. They're going to also release the following Starfruit Books books, Starfruit Books works, Yoichi Abe's Prism, Short Story Collection, and Sagato's Grin, Grin, Grin. So nice to get updates on how it's going. Again, hope that everything is going well with the whole transition, for sure.
I guess they found room to shove everything into a storage unit they use on the U.S. side, since I remember the head of Glacier Bay did a talk at Small Press Expo a couple of years back, and they said that since they live in Canada and tariffs were making things complicated, they had, actually this might have even been before tariffs, that they would essentially go to the U.S. every couple of weeks to where they kept most of their books and just ship them out from there to their majority U.S. customer base.
Right, I know, like, even like printing a couple years ago was still really tough. I know it's even tougher now, but even back then it was getting pretty difficult to get printers and everything too. So,
all right, newish publisher Kodama Tales has licensed two comics, which are kind of polar opposites of each other. They licensed Hisai Iwakawa's The Magic Forest of Hoshigahara, and they've also licensed more Baki, Keisuke Itagaki's new Grappler Baki manga, which is a sequel to the original 1991 series. And also relatively new publisher Kana announced a new license of their own, Satoshi Mori's My Dear, A Mystery for You, which I had to do a double take to make sure this wasn't just a really weird spelling of My Dear Detective.
My Dear Detective, A Mystery for You.
I mean, you can see it.
No, I can't actually. Yoshida Maru's Dig It. I had to make the Booker T. This is a Wesley thing. Can you dig it, sucker?
And here I'm thinking about wrestling, like Diglets from Pokemon.
This is where it happens when you're wrestling pilled and think about the WCW era of wrestling. Okay, but Dig It and Paris Nakagawa's Watch Out for Watara Say is now on K-Manga. So if you're looking to read more manga, obviously you can just go to K-Manga and check those out. And Sho Asahina's It's Not Easy Being Cute Tetsuya Tashiro's Slasher Maidens, and Mosuke Mataku's Inuta, My Canine Classmate was added to Manga Up. I added this week. It could have been last week too, but this is obviously a compilation of everything that they've added in the past week or so. So look at that. More Square Enix sites, Kanachu sites. Go find a way to read those manga, I guess. Or not. It's up to you.
All right, so streaming news time?
It is indeed streaming news time.
All right, so Crunchyroll continues to mock Justin by saying that they will be streaming the Chainsaw Man Reze arc movie this week, but there's still no news on Demon Slayers.
No news.
And then Akane Banashi will finally show up on Netflix, both subbed and dubbed, on May 17th. The first two episodes will stream on the service on that date, and later ones will launch weekly. Don't know. So I guess they are going to be behind the YouTube streams. And then you've got a note about this, and this reminds me. I forgot to send you some information about this. So Bandai Namco Filmworks started streaming the first two episodes of Magical Sisters Lulu to Lily anime with English subtitles on YouTube. Funny enough, I was watching the latest Anon After Show podcast YouTube stream recording, and Lindsay Loveridge said that when she was over in Japan for that big trade show, she was talking to some people there and was saying, look, you know, you guys have already been turned down twice by, you know, the streamers. You should just, like, put them up on YouTube. And they did it. And she was saying, now, I'm not saying it was just me who made this happen, but I wanted to know if this means that they got turned down by two different streamers, or if they asked Crunchyroll twice and got turned down both times, or what. You know, I want more details about that, but I did not get them.
Well, my theory is they ran into the situation where there's too many anime streaming. You can only have so many people working on a title, like unless Netflix or Amazon, whatever, Viki, whatever, wants to jump in there, like. You only stream so much, and yeah, that's my theory. Too many anime.
I mean, like, Crunchyroll, no. Like, subtitles just about everything still in-house, as far as we know, with translators and everything, so it wouldn't be a problem with Bandai Namco not having enough staff on hand, but anyway, the first two episodes are up. I don't believe the third episode is up yet, and I believe we also don't know if they're going to put all of the episodes up.
No, I saw it. It's up.
Okay, good. Since I still remember.
To be clear, I didn't see the episode, but I saw somebody say that the third episode's up.
Yeah, that's good enough for me. I was simply remembering that last year, Princess and Orchestra, which was the creative team of Symphogear does something even more magical, girl, had like two episodes go up on YouTube, but the rest of it was not streamed legally. And also, apparently, those subtitles on YouTube were god-awful, so I was wondering if it might be a similar situation to that.
And then in final of, bit of streaming news, K-On!, the film is going to be added to the Criterion channel. What? Let me open up this link and see that again. What's being added to the Criterion channel? The whole...
Justin, I see that in the script you have written LMAO, the jokes I saw on the quote tweets for this.
The supposedly critically, like, high film, really, like, when you think about Criterion Channel,
well, apparently
really...
they had
go ahead,
apparently they had, like, the director of it, shoot, I'm blanking on her name, the director, like, in the Criterion closet recently, so folks were saying maybe they're just trying to, like, start doing retrospectives on her work.
But still, this is a journey. I can't believe chaos on Criterion Channel. And it's funny because obviously it's still in the high dive. They have I believe obviously the TV show and the anime film is on high dive, but it's still
director Naoko Yamada.
It's still funny that Criterion Channel added it though. And yes, the culture is just like there's no way people the high art we did it though. There's so many just so much fun stuff in the culture. It's just so much.
There is now a chance that my dad will turn on the Criterion channel one day or like the app and like start watching this by accident. So, you know, yeah, that would be pretty funny, I think.
Incredible. All right, Justin, Helen, It is no, no, no. I got this. I got this because I gotta start this off because it's like we have a.
I'm looking at the titles you've been watching, and one of them is listed as kissing a cat's butt anime. I know I haven't watched anything for this season yet, but what am I missing? Like, is there some context for this?
There is much context for everything I gotta talk about for the spring anime 2026 season because, well, it's actually kind of a busy season. I'm trying to think it was busier than winter. I'm not
100% sure. Yeah, I think so.
Granted, there are some shows that I was going to watch, and I'm like, I don't think I can do this anymore. I don't think I can watch it now.
And I'll get you've also got something here listed as drinking Yuri anime.
I only have context for the screenshots I saw on Twitter. That's literally all I have. I have no other context aside from that. So what I've seen suggests that there is girls being girls, girls and those loving each other. So that's all I got the context for. Whether it's true or not, I'm thinking it's mostly true, but I haven't watched it. So here, it's neither here nor there. But anyways, I think this is a pretty strong season. I think this case we have newer shows instead of more sequels for me than, I still have sequels I'm watching this season, but I think last season I would say the more sequels dominated instead of new stuff, whereas we have a really strong we have some really strong works. I don't know if it's going to be Journal of Witch. We'll see about all that, but we have some strong works. So, but you know, Helen, before I even begin to talk about any spring anime, I'm going to talk about one show that finally ended for me in the winter season. Thanks to Hulu. Thank you, Hulu, for your is it Disney that's causing this? Is the mouse causing the issues for Hulu? Is that why Metalist finally finished up? I was gonna say this past Friday, maybe last Friday. I want to say it was this past Friday, but I honestly don't remember. It may have been last week. So, but yes, Metalist season 2 aired late, which is disappointing because not only did Disney Plus air like most of the season in other countries normally, but they also aired the dub normally, or mostly normally. I think it may have been delayed at one point or maybe at two during their run. Naturally, wasn't keeping track of it because again they. No dub, for whatever reason, was like this English dub just not showing up at all. So I had no context for any of that. So I've obviously completed the second season of the sub version. And it was a fine season. Obviously, it was again Nori and Tsukasa and them having to again try to get built up into the world stage. And in this case, you know, it was trying to get. Obviously to that gold medal area and try to compete or at least aspire to be like a really top skater and everything, but obviously is obviously not gonna be very easy, especially since she has Tsukasa as her teacher, and that's not necessarily an issue, it's just the fact that there's one guy who's just like really like you think you can surpass my skater, you are not gonna do that on my watch because you haven't won. You've won nothing in skating. You just haven't. You haven't beaten me. Ha ha ha. Essentially. So I would say it's more of a lighter season considering two things. One, it was only like 9 episodes. And then obviously this could be a movie after this.
Do we know when the movie is coming out in Japan?
2027, I believe. So who knows? I say it's 2027 in Japan, but who knows if it's going to come out in English? Who knows? Literally might come out like 2028 at this rate with how Hulu's treating it. So yeah, I was look forward to it. Obviously it's not as good as season 1, but I still had a really good time with it. At this point, I'm probably gonna check out. I have manga copies staring me right in the face that's saying, read me, and I will. I will do it at some point. But also a solid season, again, if you're into skating and sports and everything like that. I think this is still a pretty good watch. Can't believe Studio Engie's actually doing this. Devolve Studios, they're actually found that one title that they're just like, yes, we can do this. We can animate it well. We can do everything properly. yes, that is it, Helen. That is my final Witcher anime season thoughts. Now I'm over to spring season, and I'm like, okay, well, I said what I had to watch for the winter, and I got a lot of stuff, you know, I got to watch for the spring. Helen, how's your spring season going?
So I haven't actually started any spring shows yet. I just had a weird couple of weeks for watching anime. So I actually had the funny idea of, okay, so we had two shows titled Witch last season, and we have one titled Witch this season. What if I just make sure I'm always watching an anime with the title, with Witch in the title, this entire year? And so right now I'm still finishing up my Bashi Witches, actually. I just went back to that. I've also just been doing a lot of hand sewing, and it has been finicky enough that I need to actually be staring at the sewing and not, like, juggling back and forth between that and subtitles. So I'll get to stuff someday. Also, I see people saying things like, oh, a sense of a bookworm is cutting out some scenes. And so I'm like, oh, maybe I should go ahead and I should, like, read all of the part three novels first. And so I try to take advantage of Books of Millions, like 20% off manga sale. But like the problem I have every time I try to take advantage of one of these sales, not all the titles are included. So I've emailed customer service about the titles that aren't included in the sale but should be, and they've emailed me back, and I'm just waiting for someone to update on the back end. So it's like just extenuating circumstances as far as the eye can see, Justin.
Just too many fights you're having, Helen. Just too many fights.
I swear to God, I am not trying to have this many fights. I wanted to go over there and give them money in exchange for goods. But as we have talked about earlier, even that is sometimes difficult these days.
Great. Oh, okay, so basically what Helen's saying is she's going to let me try to talk about all the spring anime I watched, which was a lot. Too many.
Yeah, I've already told Justin that if this episode goes along, it's going to be his fault. He says we're going to be done in another 20 minutes, but I have my doubts.
That's mostly going to cut it kind of short for most of these. Uh-huh. Mainly because it's like, well, I got sequels and I got new stuff. There's probably, like, I think two anime I really want to talk about. Three. Okay, really two, I think, at the end that I want to get into. And I guess Helen wants me to elaborate on that Kissing a Cat Butts anime, so maybe that's going to be the 2.5 one. So, right, got to get right into it. So, always a catch, fun, villainous, not villainous anime, where the prince is kind of blind in a way, or in the case of he actually can see his fiance. So, when he rejects the villainous in a public setting, is actually the wrong one. It's somebody who just likes to punch things for a living. And she punches things really well. And
I actually did read the manga for this one.
What's that?
I actually did read the manga for this one. And so I have something on that. What you're
talking. Okay, yeah. But the point is, like, she basically sees she at one point she gets captured. She ends up, like, pretty much kicking everybody's butt. And the prince sees her doing this and falls in love, basically. And she's like, no, that's not the Abba-Habless waffle. I can't do all this. The prince is like, yeah, okay, whatever. I love you, basically. So I'm having a good time with it. It's fun. Not going to add anything else to that. What was you going to add?
It's interesting. There's, like, two shoujo manga adaptations this season. There's this one, Always a Catch, and there's also the observation log of my fiance, the so-called villainous. I think I got that title right. And I saw people saying, like, they really liked both of these, which is just unusual, since I don't usually see people talking about shoujo manga. So I went ahead and I read both of these, and I was remembering, okay, so back when May I Ask for One Final Thing was airing, I said that, oh yeah, I checked out some of the manga for this before, but I think I must have, like, misremembered parts of it or something. I'm wondering if I might have accidentally have mixed it up with this, since these are both series which involve, you know, our female lead punching things. So I'm kind of wondering if I was actually misremembering, you know, back then.
Yeah, Auschwitz log is not like that.
No. If I'd gotten Always a Catch and May I Ask for One Final Thing mixed up.
Oh, gotcha. Sorry.
Yeah, Observation Log does not have any punching in there. But it's still very fun.
Yeah.
Neither of them are super original ideas. I've definitely seen variations on both of these done before, but they're both fun takes on these ideas. And I think they're variations we haven't seen as much in anime. So if you are more of an anime watcher than a manga reader, they're probably fresher feeling to you.
So funny enough, you say that for Observation Logging, I'm not disputing any of that. I actually do think the perspective of focusing on Prince Birdo, I think that's or Cecil, one of his names. Basically focus on the prince, I should just say that. Just observing Bertia and just her wild statements about her being a villainess and just where she's coming from, and I mean that's pretty fun. But for whatever reason, I'm just not really clicking with the anime version of this. In fact, it's getting to the point where I'm like, I just want to watch the dub of this. I think in a lighter season, I would have just been like, okay, it's fine. Like, I have some issue with it, but like, I think it's tolerable enough to watch. But I'm just having really a hard time just clicking with everything. I think the fact that it kind of ebbs from obviously lightheartedness to they have one character who basically can be called this a lowly con. Really, really subtle with that naming here. But there's some points where I'm just like, I'm not sure I'm really clicking with everything that's happening here in terms of, okay, we got the prince just commenting about X, Y, and Z, and this is Birdia's actions. And then Birdia comes in and starts talking about X, Y, and Z. And finally, we had the princess showing up, or a real heroine, I should say. I should be more accurate.
Yeah, because she's no princess.
right. That the heroine's good. That supposedly that's gonna drive the. We're gonna get the villainous whole thing, all that happening, but something is not working with me. I'm not sure why, and it's getting to the point where I'm just like, maybe I'm gonna not drop this. Maybe I came up with the dub. I'll have to see on that.
Or you could just go find the manga.
That too. I know Alpha Polis is publishing this, so I could decide to check it out, but we'll see. I had to obviously check out the latest Hirokawa work, Daemons of the Shadow Realm, which is a fun, it's set in a fantasy world and got all these villagers and whole things about fantasy and everything. Wait a minute, why is there a helicopter in this world? What is the convenience store doing here? We basically follow two characters, essentially Yoru and Asa. One of these characters realizes, wait a minute, there's something going on here. What is the real truth here? What is happening here?
The truth is out there.
It's kind of a mix of really kind of violent in some ways. Just with these villagers getting gobble-gobbled really easily, or just like that in the next episode, the gobble-gobble person gets basically gobbled. Well, not really, but...
Did we just come up with a new word for, like, killed, Justin?
Possibly. Thank you, Hiro.
Are you just trying to say unalived, but be cuter about it?
But the point is, it's very entertaining. Left and right, there's the two daemons for your... I gotta make sure I get this right. It should be Yoru, right? Yoru! I said Yoru. But yes, the characters are fun. I think it's actually kind of moving pretty slow in terms of, okay, why did this other group decide to want to just destroy the village like this? Like, I know, yeah, we got this whole brother thing and the fake Asa and everything, but like, what's the real truth here? Why are you doing... What's the real truth? And it's taking its time doing this, but I think it's fine because we know it's going to be going into the summer, so it could take its time a little bit, so I'm fine with that. And thankfully, it's entertaining enough to where I can just deal with the slowness, so it's fine. I like it a lot. Definitely one of the stronger series, spring anime for sure. We have The Return of Dorohedoro Season 2, which is again a riot. It's also a little confusing because it's like, why is that character there in this particular moment? But then he raises a little bit of hallucination, like, oh, that's why. Oh, okay, no wonder.
Eliminating plot holes with hallucinations. That
classic Dorohedoro. You got more, again, crazy violence, more just weird stuff. It's all just crazy. And I'm like, MAPPA, I thought you were supposed to, like, slack off with this. You took so long announcing everything about it, but now you got, like, this crazy thing happening in this one scene. I'm like, okay, I guess you guys still have it, I guess. I guess... So again, lots of fun, definitely enjoyable for sure. You got the return of, or as the, again, just gonna finish up Dr. Stone. So we got more again, this, they're gonna try to get the Y-Man and they're gonna try to figure out a way to get to the moon. You crazy kids. Why are you trying to go to the moon? Why? Well, we gotta stop. Why, man? Well, okay.
We go to the moon not because it is easy, but because it is hard.
You have an otaku who is really into this thing called Glittermon. No relation to Pokemon. None of that. Not at all.
Or Precure. I mean Glitterforce.
Or Glitterforce. None of that. Not a mix of that. Not at all. But he wants to keep it a secret because obviously it's like, oh, nobody wants really into that. And I'm like, no. But he ends up talking to two otaku who don't mind any of that. And especially one otaku who's really into it. But go ahead. Let's go. Go ahead.
You mean he talks to two gals, I'm guessing?
Oh, two gals who are otaku. Or, well, one of them is a gal who is an otaku. But that gal is just like, no, my sister's really into the series. Yeah, you keep saying that so many times. Like, nobody should believe you. No one. And then find out the sister does show up and says, what is she talking about? You're the one that's into the series. It's actually pretty good. Obviously, it gets into that whole, oh no, why do you have the guy with the girls? And eventually he's got to decide. But I think for now, it's into that situation where they're really into certain topics and interests. And I think it works in its favor. So I'm having a good time with this. Let's see. We have the latest Rumiko Takahashi work and Mao, which I read a while ago. And I liked it a lot. I meant to read more of it, just never obviously got around to it. And got the anime, we got the Nakagome.
Yeah, I see people saying, oh, this one's really good, and I'm like, sure, but it's up to like 30 volumes of Japan right now. That makes me concerned.
Look, you know, there's just so much material that can be adapted, and it's up to the studio if they want to adapt more. And look, it is what it is. You just gotta deal with these whole demon type of adventures that Takahashi just loves creating, and what it's worth, I'm having a good time with it. Something about this click, but no, it's click war reading Rene, for whatever reason, just Rene just didn't work for me. Like, I just could not get into that, but Mao just works. I don't know why.
I've seen some people describe it as taking the good ideas from Inuyasha and like not taking the bad ideas from Inuyasha or something like that, like growing as a creator.
Probably not taking the stuff from Yashihime. Yeah, I don't think lots of people like. I'm not going to defend it, but I just kind of enjoyed Yashihime from. We got these older characters in this brand new setting. I think that's kind of the enjoyment I got out of it, aside from it actually being objectively good.
I mean, I think she started this one before Yashihime started.
Yeah, this started before that, but then, like, again, Yashihime is part of the Inuyasha universe, so, you still have your Kagome's and Inuyasha, but then you have the new characters with the kids of the main cast, and it's just like, does this click? It's not really working out as well as I think it should. But yeah, that's basically Mal. I'm having a good time with this so far, especially, I think from a visual standpoint, it's pretty good. I think pacing's pretty good, too, so. Have a good time with it. The one I'm not going to describe in full is Marriage Toxin, because it's like, this goes in like a billion different directions, and just even describing just a situation between, oh, I'm a poison master, I'm an assassin, I get a client, I take care of the trash, or take care of whatever they need me to do. Oh, I got this marriage swindler, oh, I gotta kill this marriage swindler, okay, I'll kill this marriage swindler, but My sister, she's being forced to take over the head of the household, and I don't want her to do that. Hey, marriage swindler, can you help me with my situation? I think I need to find somebody to marry so I can actually get my sister, who loves girls. She's a lesbian. I need help. I need to get out of the situation. Marriage is like, sure, I'll do it. I'll help you out. Takes care of, gets her out of the situation, and now, okay, marriage swindler, let's get married. I'm a guy. What?
Which is not going to solve the whole I need a baby problem.
So it's wild. It's pretty crazy. I haven't read a manga of this. It's gone places since this whole start. So it's just reliving this whole anime. Where it's at now is just kind of funny in a way. Because it's just evolved so much. Between that's been introduced for now. And what obviously the ladies is going to show up later on.
Yeah, I'd read some of it. And so I was looking up at the characters. And I was reading through like on a wiki or something, I was like, damn, he's got like a whole harem now. It's like five people that he might potentially end up with, you know. The superpower, not superpowers, but like the whole like poison master thing seems to turn into like legit superpowers at some point.
All right, so let's say I got a bunch of sequels to run through. So Mission Yusuke Family Season 2, more Taiyo and Mutsumi story, more love for them, and more just random hilarious family shenanigans involving the Yozakuras. Some good time there. We got more of Subaru's troubles in ReZero Season 4, where that man went on a just crazed rampage in the last episode, but maybe some things influenced him and Rem and everybody else that got caught in that whole blast. That may be the reason why he got went crazy, but yes, more crazy ReZero shenanigans are happening there. We have more meetings in Slime Season 4, although I would say, funny enough,
oh my god,
I find it more interesting than what happened in Season 3, mostly because of the direction so far and the visuals. I actually think it's been working way better.
I remember how many meetings there were in Season 3, and I was like, I wouldn't be done with the meetings. But then we got to the fights, I was like, man, these aren't as interesting as I was hoping either.
Yeah, I think they kind of upgraded for Season 4 in more subtle ways. And there's actually more of a... even though obviously it's not going to be a challenge for Rimuru at some point, but there's actually more intrigue regarding a person with her particular power greed in a Western nation. And then we have the Grandmaster, who's cheekily involved in both situations, and obviously he was causing sabotage that led up to the whole Fama situation there, but he's now involved in this situation, and there's things working in play. I think I'm finding it more engaging this start of Season 4, so I'm looking forward to see where Season 4 is going to go. We got more of the Marriage Simulator 2064 and Angel Next Door Season 2. Do not actually believe this is an accurate thing, but it is very wish fulfillment in the sense that these two characters, the angel, who just like, I'm not gonna admired by the students and everybody, and now we got the one My Hero, just seemingly basic guy, but all of a sudden he actually changes because he's not in a relationship. So it's more about just developing a relationship and boundaries and everything. So simple enough, wish fulfillment enough, but I'm having an enjoyable time with it so far. And now Helen's favorite anime that she wants to know more about, kissing a cat's butt. What?
I mean, it definitely can't be my favorite if I don't even know anything about it.
All right.
Although now that I see the title, The Classroom of a Black Witch and Black Cat and Witch, I remember I saw a screenshot of this on Blue Sky, and I quoted, "Oh man, the newest season of Spy Family looks kind of funny. You know, Anya's grown up." And I had a friend reply to me being like, I had to legitimately look this up to tell if you were being serious or not, because yeah, they really do look like Anya and Damon, like high school age.
Incredible. Y'all got it. Y'all crazy. Anyways.
People should know better than to take my quote post seriously. Those are almost always going to be a shitpost.
But the long and short of this is, our main character is just really into magic, but she can't do any sort of magic. She just sucks at it. But she keeps
trying. I thought we weren't talking about Witch Hat yet.
She keeps trying and trying, but she keeps failing. And her friend that she's known for a long time just like has all knows all the magic and everything. Is kind of smug about it. It's like, ha ha ha, you can't do magic and everything. But it's fine. I still love you anyways. You're a cool character and everything. You're a cool person and everything. But she ends up going to a black cat who can talk, or at least she can hear the cat talking. Nobody else can hear the cat talking. And this cat knows magic, can obviously seems kind of powerful. She asks it, or at least she basically says, hey, can you teach me magic? And obviously the cat's like, no. But then while they're in a library trying to like find something, especially for the cat, he's trying to actually be cured and everything. They end up eventually finding a way to do it, and this one thing tells them, yes, I have the power, this one thing that you can do because there's one power, and that's because of what our main character actually has. But the problem is, if you want to actually change back into your regular self, the girl has to kiss your butt. What?
That is the weirdest enema I've ever heard of.
What? Why do I gotta kiss this cat's butt? Why? And then, yes,
did someone take Kiss My Ass too literally?
But that I guess is what happened. This is from the creator of Boarding School and Juliet. I am not sure why the creator thought of doing it this way, but that is exactly what the author chose. And for what it's worth, the anime actually works. So you can deal with the cold kissing the butt thing.
You're mostly just being a kiss up here, Justin.
Mostly because it actually for a lead in film's work, it actually looks really good. I'm like, what? How are you animating it this way? You're actually making things move in a visual way that works.
This is such low standards.
No, you see, like, when you see what they did with Tokyo Revengers and a couple of other stuff, it's just like, how is this possible for them? There's only very few leading films works that they've done. Like, even like, if for one final thing, there are some episodes where it just still kind of meh.
Yeah.
But then they did Call of the Night. And that looked visually amazing. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, why can't you do that consistently? Because we just like to do lots of anime, you know? So not everything get our treatment, whatever. So this game treatment is actually kind of interesting. And it's moving at a quicker and a good pace. So it's not bad from that perspective. So I'm having a good, surprisingly good time with it, despite this ridiculousness and its many 2000s panty shots. What? Can't believe they brought that back. But it is back.
Wait, so we've got close-ups of cat butts and human panty shots, I'm assuming? Or yes. Or are the panties all on the cat?
It's both. It's we got cat butts and panty shots.
I can't tell if this is equal opportunity or not.
At some point, I guess they will show boxers for the guys. Maybe.
Oh, also, we'll Justin, see. It's past 8:00.
Yeah, I guess this is too many anime that I have to describe, and especially the kissing butt anime. Just rough stuff. And I still have more anime I gotta go. Why are there so many stuff that I'm interested in? So we got Most Radical Last Bus Queen Season 2, more brutal than Season 1. Well, maybe. I just mean in terms of the violence part. Like, there's this one episode where she literally has these people hanged up. It's like a flashback scenario because of the whole Otome game. This is what my villainous character did in the game versus I'm actually not that person. What that villainous did in the game, she really hung those people up and whipped them just like that. Like, dang. And then she got the prince to do what? Why would the... Wow. Wow, that's pretty violent. So, yes, pretty crazy stuff. The Ramparts of Ice. This is a shoujo manga based from the creator of the You and I Are Polar Opposites creator, which is a shonen work. I love how they had the distinct,
And I believe this one was an earlier work too.
Yeah, I meant to check that. I didn't check it out. Excuse me. talking too much. You had the shonen. shoujo comparison that's been happening this season, obviously, because these are essentially airing back to back, and then obviously Pull-Ups is going to return in the summer, so obviously you can see the difference between you got the jovial kind of joking, and obviously you got the relationships that's already happening with Pull-Ups, but then you have the whole situation with Ramparts where you have a character who's just really frosty. What? Well, when you get into the backstory, you see, like, oh, that's why she's frosty, because of all the little micro aggressions that you see from these guys and just these characters, and you realize, okay, no wonder she just doesn't really want to deal with people like this. And that makes it pretty interesting in that perspective. Some might say it's a little dramatic in some respects, especially this one at the tail end of episode one, we have two guys just randomly picking her up or trying to pick her up, and she's just like, just get away from me.
Like, physically, or like in the dating kind of pick her up?
Dating, like, just trying to pick her up.
Ah, okay.
But it's just like, and it at some point, she's a little, like, she's threatened. She's like, she should, like, they could just, like, do something to her. So it's just like, I don't want to deal with this.
Punch them.
So you have that happening, and I'm like, and like I said, just in general, so you have the two differences between these two series. I'm just like, okay, I'm very much enjoying the differences. And I still think Ramparts is really good. So it's on Netflix. I'm having a good time with it.
Do we know if the creator for that one is a man or a woman?
There's a she.
So I was thinking it's more unusual for a man to do a shoujo series, but more common for a woman to do a shonen series. So I was just curious there for a sec.
Yeah, and you can see, but she still has her normal touches of a little the kind of humor and the type of writing that you can tell, but both that carries in both. Which is obviously have different focuses for both. So yes, having a good time with that. And let's see. Oh, my two favorites. Although I had the mini rant with Ascendance of the War for season 4, but I will talk about Witch Hat Atelier, which is again gorgeous. Again, has a lovely girl, Coco, who is just a normal person, normal human. She's just like, oh, but I want to do magic and magic. But then the witch is just like, the witches and her parents, and pretty much everybody's like, no, you can't do magic. It's reserved for witches. There's a special thing. You can't do that. But then she ends up watching a witch actually.
You are not a chosen one.
Watch a witch actually perform her magic. And then she thinks, oh, that's a one time back in the day where this one person I met gave me this pen and I can actually do magic and everything. Oh, that's nice. Ooh, this is neat. Oh, that crossed the fire. Oh no. Let me stop that. And then she thinks, okay, let me see how if I close this circle. And oh no, wait, what's happened to my house? What's happened to my mom? No, basically. So Coco's journey is to, again, find a way to find the person, essentially the witch, that essentially gave her magic, essentially, and try to cure her mom. But the problem is, Kyuubi has his reasons that the anime won't elaborate, really, at this point. But you can sense that he has things that he wants to do, but that's why he's not erasing Coco's memories. Obviously, Bug Films delayed this series. I, funny enough, Helen, I think there are obviously quality reasons why I delayed it, but also I think Crunchyroll obviously wanted to sama dub this too, so that also was probably a reason for a delay as well.
Yeah.
So, obviously, I think the delay has worked in its favor. Everything looks pretty good. Supposedly, Monday's episode, obviously, we're recording this episode on a Sunday, it's supposed to be like the standout episode. The season, so I'm very much looking forward to how that's going to go.
And but I've already seen people drooling over the first couple of episodes, so...
Hey, you said you didn't watch any spring anime!
I said I've seen other people drooling over it. I am on Blue Sky, you know?
But yes, I'm loving it, having a good time with it. Very curious how... I guess I'm very curious where it's going to eventually stop. I have heard like it's, and it's obviously made some adjustments here and there, obviously because it's TV versus manga, so it's had to like I think switch a few things around or make some either additions or subtractions here and there. But I'm very curious where it's going to stop because it's obviously going 13 episodes, so curious where it's going to
go. Yeah, I've read 6 or 8 volumes. I'm very behind, and I can't think of a really good stopping place in any of those. So yeah, I've been curious about that all along.
Mm-hmm. So I guess we'll, like, hopefully we'll find out stop at a good place. We'll see.
Unlike Ascendance of a Bookworm, which is going to spend 2 cores trying to adapt 5 light novels, and Godspeed to them.
Yeah, I have to make sure.
These are dense light novels.
Yeah. It has been interesting to watch it, because for what it's worth, I'm still liking what I'm watching. And the thing is, I kind of already understand, like, okay, you can't keep everything, because from a TV perspective, you only have so many... You only have so much time to actually adapt everything. So I can understand, like, what you can't keep and what you could. So, like, the first episode where you have, obviously, Rosamine! But you obviously have Rosamine learning to be a noble and everything. And you have 2 examples of people learning that, oh, yeah, she's kind of frail. That's why you have, I can't think of her servant name on top of my head, it hurts, but basically her brother her new brother learning that, okay, I have to protect you, and carrying you is exhausting, or bring you is exhausting, that's why you have to be careful with, that's why you're a guard knight, this is why.
Daniel?
No, not Daniel. No, this is within the nobles, particularly within the archnoble, the archduke's family, really. Not the temple.
Yeah, I don't know, since the only bits of part 3 I've read so far have been what the manga has adapted, so that's still pretty early on.
Yeah, and as you can also see, listeners, I always have great remembrance of all the names of everybody important in my lifetime. No! But then you have the other episode. You have the. I gotta get sure I get this name right, because I am not screwing him up, because he is a little annoying dude that's just gonna cause so much trouble for mine in general. Wilfred! Wilfred, you are a loser.
Oh, the new brother.
He's the yes, he's the son of the Archduke. And he has lots to learn, and he had to learn really hard that Rosalind's really frail. But I like to play around and for
Also,
this
he's like 8 and can't read yet, so like skills issue, man.
so much skills issues. And then Ferdinand's just like, okay, I can't. In the novel, he basically expresses that he had to learn the hard way that you can't treat Rosamund like you treat everybody else. That's why he let her into a bloody mess. As he's literally after this
Hoping that if he
party.
traumatizes the boy, it might actually stick that time.
Yes. So finding out they didn't elaborate in the next episode about what happened. I guess they either assumed that, oh yeah, that just happened, and maybe you can put the pieces together that, oh yeah, that he's not gonna learn. Or you can just wait to the third episode and he apologizes, and then you know that, okay, this happened. So
Yeah, I saw people talking after the second episode. They're like, so we're just not going to explain this? Okay, then. Like friends who like the series but haven't read the light novels, so
my
they were like, I assume something happened, but I don't know.
Yeah, so they have to make decisions about what to like properly keep, what type of perspective they want to have the show for Rosamund, because they have to balance. They all have to show Rosamund's perspective, but we do have like epilogues and stuff that gets into other people's perspectives on the situation. So how do you adapt that? There's an interesting thing about I think the third episode where I'm so used to the light novel call her my lady with Raharda. This is one of the new characters or new retainers for mine, and in the cultural translation they call her princess. And I'm just like, I know you say Hime. Is it something like it's gonna use super anime? Just like how I used to get what it was called mine as a MAIN back in the first couple seasons. I think I'm used to this now. So, I guess to how things look, it looks pretty good in certain ways. And yes, in ways
Put
it
the
does look
AI
better than
sized elephant in the room.
with the AI. Well, for now, as far as I can tell, it's just Wizard, it's Relic's opening. I would not, funny enough, Helen, I would not be surprised if they snuck it in some of the like the backgrounds,
Yeah.
the things that's unimportant, so you have to look really closely. But this is the problem when you think like, okay, they got away with AI there, why would you think they got away with AI in all the other places? But from at least from like the magic, from doing their magic stamp, the magic, like they did that scene with the there's a scene where they Rosamund and they try to talk about having a building that they need built for Rosamund, so you can do a printing in a certain area. And while they're at a restaurant, they basically say, hey, can you his well, what's the what type of rest what type of building you kind of want, where does it need to be? And they literally draw up the plans right there, and then Rosamund got a real learning lesson on, oh, yeah, you probably should be careful about how you phrase things, because nobles want to get things done immediately pronto. But when they show how they create it actually looked really gorgeous, like it actually looked really good. I thought that how Ferdinand did it was really well done, so it's like it doesn't look like it's AI or anything like that, so you could
Yeah, I
definitely
remember
t
that bit in the ma I remember that bit in the manga, and it's funny because this whole series starts out as kind of, medieval-esque, and at the very beginning of the story, Mine has no idea that magic even exists. And so once you find out magic exists, that kind of shifts your perspective. And then once you start getting more into noble society, you're like, oh, this is definitely not just like our own medieval world. Like th there is some real distinctions here. Which I've always felt has been like a strength of the world building in it, that the author has very deliberately thought out a lot of things.
So personally, like I would have to literally go back into like specifics if I want to go back to reading like part three and see like what did they not keep, or are they trying to rearrange things. But it does sound like they're just trying to make sure they complete part three in the next, like they're gonna go through the spring and summer to try to complete it. My guess also is, They also want to just get to certain moments a little bit faster, so we'll see. Excuse me. So from that perspective, I think they've done things better in Ajudu, but I still kind of miss how they did the chibi stuff. Don't think it's as
good. I've seen some other people saying the same thing, yeah.
I don't think it's as good as how they Ajudu did it. I think it's still early. There are some personality things I'm not sure I care about. It's hard to describe, really, compared to Ajudu. I would have to, like, literally go back to watch a couple of the anime episodes from what they did.
Oh, no, but, the horror.
But it's, like, it's early. And I don't think the changes, at least for me, are big enough to really think that it's, like, egregious, like, they cut it. I think, personally, at least for now, it's good. I'm still having a good time with it. It's just that you have that AI thing in the background. You have this one thing in my mind, and I just hate that it's happened to my favorite work. Why would you do this to me? Why?
It's like when you're getting ready for bed, and then you see a big ass spider in your room, and even after you get rid of the spider, your mind can't help but keep going, is there another one? Where did that come from? Is there another one? Is there another one?
But I still think it's a pretty good season. And again, I'm just bookworm obsessed, so it's just like any type of bookworm.
We know.
Manga, light novel, spinoff, just give it to me. Give it to me.
It remains immensely hysterical to me that I was the one who knew about Bookworm for years before you did, but yet you're the one who just went fully in on it. And I like it a lot too, but you were just another level, Justin.
All right, so this season was just too packed, so I'm not saying I won't get around to watching these, but unless I drop maybe one or two of these shows that I'm currently watching, I don't think I'm going to watch these. So Drops of God. I have actually not heard very good things about the anime adaption, but I am still kind of interested in watching it, or at least nothing else to dub of this, but my schedule's kind of packed. I think I need to like make sure things are managed for me before I try that. We have the Drinking Yuri anime, a.k.a. Botan Kamina.
As opposed to Drops of God, which is the drinking straight anime, I guess.
Got the terrier. This is how the grapes are sourced and everything. Meanwhile, I think the drinking anime is just like, we got these girls, we want to drink and call it an afternoon or evening and go from there. Oh, look,
they do not care about the terroir or anything like that.
I can't speak for exactly what's happening in there, but I've seen a screenshot of it. It does look really good. I see some talk about it on my Twitter, so I guess it might be pretty solid, and I'm definitely interested in it. But again, packed season, I just think I can't do it. And same with Agents of the Four Seasons, which I've heard some chatter about before the anime was happening. So I was interested in the light novels before the anime. I just haven't obviously gotten around to it. But two things, again, this is another just packed season, and then also this is from Wit Studio. And I am making the correlation here, where if they did AI in one thing, they could totally do AI in another thing. So I am very, very worried. Well, okay. I actually think they may have put more resources into Agents of Four Seasons, but that's either here or there. The point is, if you're into another work by the creator of A Violent Evergarden, you probably want to check this out. If you're not, maybe you want to steer clear. As for me, I'm interested, but I am a ways away from wanting to try it out.
Yeah, I did see Rebecca Silverman of ANN saying that she found the anime easier to deal with than the light novels, since the light novels just have a couple of characters that speak in annoying ways, but for some reason it's slightly less annoying to hear that than to read like 10 million ellipses in a single paragraph.
I am still watching this, and it's probably because I read the manga this, but I am probably going to drop Food Diary Miss Maid. It's fine, and funny enough, I think this is EMT Squared's like best looking anime they've done in a while, or ever maybe. Their history is not very big. Just from a visual standpoint, they're depicting the maids, like how they look and how the characters and pretty much all the food that they need to adapt looking pretty good. But I think in a pack season like this, just being like how it's the pace is just kind of a little off in certain ways. I think it was a little slow in certain aspects. And I'm just like, it's fine, but I think maybe reading it, it's a little bit more comfortable for me. So I'm not saying I'm going to drop it, but it's on my probably might not continue list. We'll see how I feel as the seasons go on. And then the literal drop, the only thing I actually did drop was Kirio Fan Club, which is unfortunate because I read like the free preview of it on Kodansha's site. And for what I read of it was just kind of funny, where you have two characters or two girls who like this one no name. Not no name, but you don't even see his eyes. So it's like that.
I mean, I'm assuming his name is Kirio.
No, well, I say no name, but like they got the look like he's like no eyes, seemingly not like that
important. Oh, generic.
Yeah, generic type of character. So it's like, what's making you like him? And then they get into commentary about, wait, why are we watching this? Why is watching this girl confess to him and or this confession happening? It seems kind of odd and sick and weird. And something about it just kind of clicked for me. And I kind of like it. I will probably still pick up the manga at some point. I think the manga volume 1 is going to come out this week. But the anime, I don't think it really sells it really well. And I was just kind of not finding it interesting enough. So I only watched one episode. It didn't really get me to want to continue to watch any more of it. And again, pack season, maybe in a lighter season, I would have tried it out more, but goodbye. And that is my spring season. Why am I the only talking about the spring season, Helen?
Yeah, I still love how you said you'd wrap this up by 8, but it is now 8:22. So let's just run through the weird news real fast. For some reason, internet personality Logan Paul has decided that he's going to start collecting graded manga, graded copies of manga, that are supposedly going to be worth, tons and tons of money someday. So he said that he bought the Weekly Shonen Jump magazine issues with the first appearances of the main characters of Dragon Ball and One Piece, aka the issues with the first chapters of both. And he said that he purchased the Dragon Ball issue for $550,000 and didn't say what he paid for the One Piece issue. Some friends were pointing out that the version he got of One Piece as well isn't even like the original, whichever year it came out, issue. It's a reprint from a couple years later, and you can tell really obviously because it's got like a different logo on the cover and all of that. So just, Logan Paul continues to be an idiot in every sense of the word, and making our lives worse for it.
Bet you're so proud of it too. So proud.
Yeah, the picture of him with those two, it kind of looks like... Okay, so wigs for like characters with really short hair are kind of hard to cut just since wigs don't lie quite like right... like regular hair, and his hair is not a wig. However, it looks like a perfect example of how short-haired wigs are hard to cut. I'm saying his hair looks fake and bad.
All right, I am done talking about Logan Paul and his idiocy. We got to move on to,
for now,
the manga. The reoccurring of the slime manga is going to end. It's over. Psych. No, it's not actually going to end. So, excuse me. So it was actually just kind of misreported, or it was incorrectly reported by Kadokawa's Denki Online website, where, excuse me, they noted that the 32nd manga volume was going to end the series, but no, it was just an error. They eventually changed it to the latest volume, not the final volume, and that was a good correction, because I'm like, the slime manga just sells like a lot. I think they'd be losing money by not trying to sell that. I guess the manga will go on for as long as it can, but like I think that'd be kind of weird to end it just like that. Sorry. So yeah, it's not over yet. Who knows when it's over, but the manga's not over yet.
Okay, going back to Dragon Ball for a second though. So voice actors Masako Nozawa, who does Goku in Dragon Ball, I'm pretty sure. I'm dying myself now.
What's up?
is sort of starring in a spoof visual novel. Or what it is that McDonald's Japan made some images that are a spoof of the Baki martial arts manga as a dating sim game starring Nozawa as herself, not as her Baki Do character, but like a vaguely 16-bit version of herself. kind of sandwiched in between two of the Baki characters, and everyone is holding chicken sandwiches with varying degrees of threateningness. It's very funny.
this is what is happening here.
I know nothing about Baki, but I know friends who like Baki, so I'm going to have to make sure they see this.
There is just... The collaborations has just gone too far. That's it. It's gone too far. Love you, Japan. Love you. And that is a podcast episode. I have officially talked too long. Please close us out, Helen. Please close us out.
Oh, I didn't realize that was the last thing. We had so much news in other areas. I didn't realize we had so little weird news. All right, then. So, folks, if you want to find us online, you can find the rest of the blog at theoasg.com. You can find this podcast on whatever service you were already listening to us on, but we are also on all the usual ones, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, etc. Let us know if there's a service you'd like us to be added to, and Justin will presumably figure this out. You can find the Twitter account for this website still over on Twitter at theoasg.com. We are also on Mastodon, which has been bridged over to Blue Sky. So if you look up theoasg on Blue Sky, you will come across the account there as well. My own personal account is at Wandering Dreamer, and the other podcast you can find me on is Manga in Your Ears. On Blue Sky, we are at under at Taiku Podcast. That is T-A-I-I-K-U Podcast, and that is also the name of the website. We've been behind on things a little bit lately because April is doing classes for her work, and as she put it, she made the mistake of doing two classes at once instead of just one. So we've been like rescheduling a little bit so that she doesn't, you know, die.
Again, you can still find me on Twitter at @KamiyasuNomi. Yes, as again, General Diaz's Fire Emblem stuff. We got the NBA playoffs happening, so maybe there's some sports thing going to retreat at some point. It's going to happen. Maybe it will happen. Even today at some point. Once I get off this call, once we stop recording, maybe I'll just check and see what's happened in the playoff games today. But that's all I got for you. I have nothing else. Until next time, everybody. Bye.
See ya.